Today we are going to continue our series about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read again Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, fervence, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is something that we want to have. Peace is something that people said, "I want to have peace in my life, in my workplace, in my church, in my neighborhood, in the city I live. I want to have peace." And it's interesting that the Society of International Law in London states that during the last 4,000 years, there has been only 268 years of peace in spite of good peace treaties. In the last three centuries, in the last 300 years, there have been 286 wars on the continent of Europe alone. 85% of all history concerns itself with war. In all the years of over 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. Why is it so difficult to have peace? Well, as a believers, we know is that peace is not to be found outside of the human heart. We cannot come and discuss, okay, we're going to have peace, we're going to write it down. It will not work like that. Peace is to be found inside our hearts through our relationship with our Creator God. From the very beginning, when God created man, he has a relationship and everything was good. For us to go back to that good, and everything was good, and everything was good, we need to come back. Peace is not a state of mind or circumstance in nature. It is a condition of the heart, a gift from God. Peace is not something that can be manufactured. We cannot produce peace in our lives. Peace is divinely imparted. Today, this morning, I invite you just to spend the next half an hour or so just to reflect about peace. Peace, the word commonly translated as peace in English, and is used both as a greeting or farewell to say goodbye. Shalom, the Hebrew word shalom. And shalom has so many meanings. And then as we check the meaning of this word shalom, peace, is completeness in harmony. So that means that if we have harmony, it's because we have different things in order to have peace. Like the day, we have morning, afternoon, and evening is a day. Peace has some things here, and that's what my intention this morning to reflect upon. Now, we have been studying love. Last Sunday, we spoke about joy. Well, peace, somebody put it like this, and I like this, how he defined peace. Is joy grown quiet and assured? That's peace. Is joy, but grown quiet and assured. But peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The moment you believe in Jesus, the moment I believe in Jesus, he is going to produce peace, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, there are three kinds of peace that when they are in harmony, remember, that's the concept of shalom, harmony, completeness. When those three peace are there, we have peace. And today, the first thing we need to consider is this, that we need to have a peace with God. It's an outward peace. That is our journey, that's how our journey is. Start. I love when the Bible says this, that God is a God of peace. God is a God of peace. We found that in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Say, God is a God of peace. Now, in Romans 16, verse 20, the concept is the church is having problems. The church in Rome has false teaching going, false theology coming to the church of Rome, and they were having no peace. And then Paul finished this portion of this chapter in chapter 16 and says, the God of peace will soon cross Satan under your feet, and he gives the blessing. Last Sunday we sang the greatest day in history was when Jesus died on that cross and made peace for us possible. He crushed Satan. One day he will come and will cross. And God is a God of peace. In Isaiah 9:6, the verse that we read on Christmas and sing carols, we said that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God is a God of peace. Jesus came to give us peace. And have you seen those stickers, homes or in cars? Says, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Let me tell you, this is biblically accurate, correct. If we don't have Jesus in our lives, we cannot have peace. If we don't have Jesus in our life, we cannot have peace with God. We cannot have peace with God if we don't surrender our lives to Jesus. If we do charity, if we are good parents, we are good neighbors, fine. But we cannot have peace with God if we do not know Jesus Christ in our heart. If you don't know Jesus, you will not have peace in your life. The world turns to pills to have peace. To do yoga to have peace. And many other things to do have peace. Jesus says this. This is the verse that Billy read earlier. Jesus says this to his disciples. And he's saying to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Once we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, once we have repented of our sins and we are faithful to him in Christian living, we will discover the peace with God. This is an outward peace. Now we need to understand something that here is the problem is that sometimes we don't surrender completely. So we are serving like two masters. We want to continue doing what we like to do and we don't want to obey Jesus. So Jesus says, if you really love me, you need to keep my commandments. So the moment we don't obey, we are not going to have peace. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. My peace, it doesn't come because I am Baptist, or because I am Anglican, or because I am Catholic, or because I do good things. No, my peace comes because Jesus is living in me. For he himself is our peace. Romans 5, verses 1 to 2. Romans 5, verses 1 to 2. Put it like this. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. We cannot have peace until we surrender our life to him. I like the translation of the word faith as when a couple comes to the church and say, I accept this woman, I accept this man. And a marriage is successful as we surrender completely. Our Christian lives will be successful. The peace will be there until we surrender surrender our lives completely to Him. But the Bible says that we need to confess our sins. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness when we recognize how evil we are. Every day. John Newton, maybe some of you know the story of John Newton. John Newton was an 11 years old boy and he was trained in the art of being a master captain of a trade ship. When the British Navy drafted him, he could have done well as the captain of the Royal Navy. But he lacked self-discipline and got into with the wrong crew. John was arrested for desertion, publicly flogged, and demoted to a common sailor. When he was 21, he went on board of a ship, and then he continues to do the same. He will ridicule the seaman in his company, ridicule the ship's captain, and even ridicule a book he had found on board entitled The Imitation on Christ. And we may have, some of you know the story, that on one night, the ship sailed into a violent storm, and John awakened with a cabin filled with seawater. And everyone was desperate. And they have time. They miraculously, the ship have time to recover. And then his sailor says, "We are going to die." And it was then that John Newton says, "If this will not do, the Lord have mercy on us." And we know the story that every year he remembered, he repented, he confessed, he realized that he was a sinner, and he wrote those amazing words in this Amazing Grace hymn. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." John Newton found that night at sea an upward peace with God. You know, our problem, sometimes we don't want to recognize that we are sinners. And we cannot have peace with God. We will never have peace with God until we repent. So the first element of that wholeness of peace is that we need to have peace with God. But the second peace is an inward peace. A peace, the peace of God. This is the peace that comes when we face dark times. Christianity is not an easy road. Sometimes we are going to face dark times. Peace to live with ourselves in any and under all circumstances. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do you have that inner peace? Sometimes we are anxious. How we are going to make ends meet? How we are going to get through this? How going to get there? The Bible tells us that Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus." Have you thought about peace guarding your heart? I have met people that they go through very hard circumstances. I remember a man going through really bad, a bad patch in his life. And he says, "I just have this belief that God is going to take care of me. God will see my family through this." Can you have that assurance that peace will guard your heart? Some of you here have lost a child in birth. Some of you have lost a husband, others a wife. Some of you have lost your purity and balance in life because of cancer in your family or heart disease. And I could go on and on and on. There are people who says, "I have peace." Sometimes I wonder if I would like to do something else with my life. I would like to be maybe somebody who go and rescue people, a pilot or a doctor who's going to perform a surgeon to help people. But some of you know my story when I went to Weymouth years ago. And then I remember I was in that dilemma in my life, and I stand on that place in Weymouth singing one of the hymns. And then I saw these people there in front of me. And I think, the very first time I really prepared a sermon in English, which is my second language. And then after I sang on that particular moment, there was a queue of people. There were some people queuing for prayer. Wait a minute, I'm not on service today. But they were queuing. And the first woman, she came to me and says, "Thank you for reminding me that we have a faithful God, a great God." "Oh, that's okay. I lost my only daughter 4 days ago. She was 16. But I am at peace. And thank you for reminding me." It touched my heart. And I said, maybe I can do something here in the UK. That was the day I decided to become what I am at the moment. The hymn that we sang earlier, that Billy was sharing this morning, it gives the story of this man. Every time I sing this hymn, I cannot help it. I cry. And sometimes when churches invited me to sing this song years ago as a special, it was hard for me. I will sing it from my heart. "It is well. It is well with my soul." Can you say that? "When peace like a river attempted your way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever you lot have thought you to say, it is well. It is well." When we come to Jesus and we surrender our lives to Him, we can have peace of God in our hearts. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he or she trusts in you." God can keep us. You know, it's something that we cannot understand. We are not talking about that is beyond, you know, it's talking about beyond touch humanity. We are talking about something the world cannot comprehend. We are talking about something that we don't always understand. So sometimes we don't understand why is this happening in our lives? You know, that fills your soul. You lost your job. You can have peace in your heart. Your career is about to change. You have peace in your house. When the bills are still coming, you can have peace in your house. When our children are a disappointment, you have peace in your heart. Can you have that peace? Do we understand it? Do we need to understand it? No. That's the reason why I am not a liberal. I am very conservative. Because a liberal tried to put the understanding on top of the biblical base of the Bible. I cannot do that. And when we come with my life, when Horacio was on that ship, this is a man who was traveling on holiday, but he was going to help D.L. Moody in his crusade. Why his daughter has to die? Did he understand it? No. If he was a liberal, he would have a problem. Yes. Because he will try to understand. God, this is not fair. I lost my son. Now you are taking my 4 daughters. Do we need to understand sometimes? No. It's then that we can enjoy the peace of God. God will keep in perfect peace him or her whose mind is steadfast because he or she trusts you. He or she trusts you. This is a picture of a mind at rest because it is filled with the knowledge of the Almighty. It is well. It is well with my soul. But the third piece is peace with one another. And this is the practical bit. The other is personal. It's your relationship with God. You surrender your life to God, and then you have that peace inside. Now it comes the test. This comes when we face our friends, when we face people in churches, when we face people in workplaces. Last week, we studied, today I will not intend to spend so much time here, Philippians 4, 1 to 3. You remember last week, those who were here? Philippians 4, verses 1 to 3. This is Paul sending a letter to the church in Philippi. And he said, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you have love and long for my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my friends. He loved this church. And he said, this is a good church. But he says, I plead, I am begging with Judea, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, please do something about it. We could have problems in our marriages. We could have problems with our friends. We could have differences in the church. And Paul says, have the same mind of Christ. Let me try to elaborate. Last week, we reflect more about this, but today I'm going to do it very briefly. A non-Christian cannot produce the peace of God in his or her life. We surrender our life to God, and then God himself help us to have that peace, and he help us to love one another. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine a chicken barking like a dog? Can you picture, well, if you go to British Got Talent, perhaps, sometimes, you know, you see weird things sometimes. But can you imagine, do you think that's possible? That a chicken will be barking like a dog? That a chicken will be your dog? No. It comes from different roots. A Christian, when we have our root in Christ, we should be children of peace. We could have peace with one another. Getting alongside with one another. How sad is to see how the churches are divided. Like here, Paul is begging these two women, hey, come on, do something about this. Jesus came to be our Prince of Peace. Not the Prince of Patience, not the Prince of Gentleness, not the Prince of Faithfulness or Kindness, the Prince of Peace. And big peace is all about relationships, and the way we treat one another mirrors our relationship with God. How I treat my wife, how I treat my children, how I treat my friends. Whatever you do, it will be something that you are going to show to the people outside. Now today, as I finish, I'm going to give some practical things that it helps me. And my question is, will you be at peace with your loved ones? And I like this acronym. You know, I have these letters put in together. And, you know, and I hope that it will help you in your home, in your workplace, in our church. This is peace. So the first letter is P. Now, the first letter P, whenever a problem comes, this is what I use. I put, when I try, I cut, my peace is taken away when I have a problem. So I put these letters on my table, and the first letter goes for P, that is pray. I pray, but also I plan my action. I will not answer immediately. I just think, let me think about it. And then I start thinking and praying, but I'm going to plan my action. But sometimes we react. And I love this illustration. I love, you know, there was a young husband he was really mad with his wife. He said, this woman, and you know, when you are in love, you love one another and you, is the best woman or the best man. But after a few years, everything starts. I don't know what happened, but it's like a metamorphosis. It's like, you know, changing in most cases. But here, this young husband went with a problem to see a psychiatrist, and he says, doctor, this is happening, and she's doing that. So the doctor told him, you don't have to let your wife bully you. Go home and show her you are the boss. So this young man went home, you know, and they go home, slammed the door, and he walked and shook his fist in his wife's face, and says, from now on, you are taking orders from me. When I get home from work, I want my dinner on the table. I want my clothes ready to go. I will be going out with my friends to the pub whenever I want, and you will be staying home. And another thing, he says, do you know who is going to tie my tie? Yes, she says, the undertaker. We need to plan our strategy. Maybe the young man was right, but that was not the right strategy. Let's pray about it. The Bible says that if you remember your brother has something against you, go at once and make peace. Let's plan our strategy. Let's pray. The second is E, for we need to empathize with their feelings. We need to understand. We need to listen. Really to listen to people. We need to listen because we need to. I always try to put myself in somebody else's shoes. When there is a problem, there is always two. But most of the time people say, no, we've always been doing this, or I always this way, or I cannot change. That's a problem. We need to empathize with their feelings, where they are coming from. The next one is that we need to attack the problem. We need action, not the person. There is a problem, we're going to have action, and we're going to say, well, this is the problem, but not the person. Not the person. So I plan, I pray, I empathize, I listen to people. And then I start attacking the problem. Not the person. Not the person. Then we need to cooperate as much as possible. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, says in Romans. We need to compromise. If you are wise, you will compromise. All great relationships are built on compromise. Most marriages do not end because of adultery or abuse, but because of inflexibility. People don't want to compromise. This, my man used to do this way. My father will never, or something like that. We need to cooperate, compromise, and finally, we need to emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. There is a great difference between the two. Reconciliation means to reestablish the relationship. And that's what God did with us. How many of you, when you came to the Lord, you will never sing again? Sing again. How many of you? I want to learn. How many of you came to the Lord and then you fail again, you sin, you disobey, you doubt? Isn't it? And what God does, he brings us back. Who are we that sometimes we don't try to work towards reconciliation? No. This is it. Reconciliation means to reestablish the relationship. That's what Jesus did. Resolution tries to resolve every issue. We are individuals. We think differently. Not every issue will be resolved, no matter how much we want to do it, but we can always work toward reconciliation in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace. We can always work towards loving one another. As I conclude this morning, let's remember that we can have a lot of things in life, but if we don't have peace, we are never going to truly enjoy our lives the way God intended. We could win the lottery, like last Sunday show. You could be successful. You could have everything. But if you do not have peace, we have nothing. Peace destroys homes. If we don't have peace, the homes will be destroyed. Are you having outward peace? Peace with God. You need to surrender our life to Jesus. We need to surrender. We need to have inward peace. We need to just allow Him to have His way in our lives. And the most important is we need to have that outward peace with one another. May the Lord help us as we go and start this new week, allow the Holy Spirit to do his wonderful work within us, within you. Are you struggling? Well, have peace with God. Surrender every day. Have that inner peace. Trust him. Because God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Are you going to trust in God with the problem you are having this morning? Maybe you are having a problem for years. Maybe you're having a circumstances. As I finish, remember that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your house this morning and perhaps we are troubled about things in our lives, our families, our works, places, and things happening in the world. Father, help us to have peace with you. And I pray for that person that trying to have peace for years, that she will realize that she needs to surrender your life to you, confessing her sins or his sins. Help us to have peace of you, your peace. As we struggle with life and we believe in you, Father, help us to allow you to rule our lives, because it is well when we allow you to rule our lives. And Father, I pray that you could help us to have peace with one another, particularly here in your church, Penrall Baptist Church. Father, help us to show to the world that we have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guard our hearts every day because we trust in you. Amen.